The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
In this episode, we have a rambling conversation sharing thoughts about making friends as an adult, from challenges on the very personal individual level to the macro society and economy-wide pressures that don't make it any easier. If you found friendship in adulthood feels effortful, you're not alone. Keep listening. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, what's up, man?
Thank you for joining us today. This is a really great topic, and there's just so much to say about it. We got a little bit overwhelmed trying to think of, well, let's say this and let's say that. And so what we decided is, let's just start the conversation about what it's like making friends as an adult.
That's a good way to put it, Sienna. Just take the pressure off.
I like that you said that out loud
for both of us.
Yeah.
So that we can just feel free to have
to
a conversation.
Enjoy this podcast recording.
And that there's no like outline of points to be made and supported with evidence or studies. Nope.
I mean, I love that, but it doesn't have to be all the time.
That's not what this one is.
Yeah. So anyways, so we will get to that in a little bit. But I just wanted to give everyone an update for those who care about being highly organized and who care about a gift list and a Christmas list. In a podcast episode, we talked about our new take on our new approach for preparing for the holidays. Why are you? Toast is looking at me like sun is in her eyes. Why are you looking at
me? I'm squinting. I think it's because
you're like really thinking.
Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, it's not a new take because you've talked.
Oh, I've been wanting to do it.
You've talked about this idea and this strategy.
Well,
this
never
tactic
been,
for a long time.
Many, and you've I've talked about it many
actually
times.
Tried to implement it.
I've never been
past,
successful.
And we've only been successful up to a point because, you know, you have to keep up with it and get used to it. So we're trying again.
Yes.
It's going okay so far.
It's going okay.
And
I am
making an effort.
Toast is making
also
an effort.
Contribute
which
more.
Which is so fantastic.
Than you usually have.
Except when she came in and wanted me to redo how I did the list. Then I was getting all fighty. Like, no, we can't have that. Anyways. But I will say, so it is going well. We're about a month and a half ahead, which I think is amazing. I think that's amazing.
Time out.
Yes.
I just want to
People don't even know what it is.
For people who are like,
who haven't
what
listened
the hell
to the
are
podcast
you talking
before?
About?
All right.
So, our brilliant idea, which has never worked before. All the way through the year.
I still think it's a great idea, though.
Okay, let's
really
see how
do.
Fast it. Yeah, I think so,
that's
too,
why,
in theory.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know how at the end
that
of the year.
That sounds long.
Well, I think this is the fastest way to say it, though. So you know how at the end of the year and the Christmas or the end of your holiday, whatever your holiday is, a gift buying crunch, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to buy gifts for all these people. Well, our brilliant idea is to, as the year progresses, starting from January, when people's birthdays, when your birthday gift shopping for people, especially if you're trying to choose between two gifts,
buy both.
Get them both.
Yes.
As long as one is not going to, you know, expire before the end of the year holiday.
Right.
But get them both, and then just you have to be organized and put it aside, put one of them aside for the holiday. So that's the general idea.
That's the general idea. And then if you do think of something that is going to expire, or you do think of something that is such a great idea, but you want to buy it closer so that they could possibly return it, mm-hmm. you write it down in your calendar when to buy it. But at least all the thought is done. All the thinking about it is done. So
that's gift giving geek. That's edition.
Yes. And so it's going well. I just want to give an update. But the thing I hadn't anticipated is that when you are shopping, when you have your eyes open to like sales and what's going on, and then you're always popping in to see, okay, who's next on the list? Would they like something from here? And you're doing that. You find stuff for yourself.
Oh boy.
So it is, so like, I'll give you an example. So the other week, Toast said, a big box came with decorative pumpkins. Is this wrong?
A box of decorative pumpkins was delivered to our door.
And I said, oh, the pumpkins came. Because in looking, in shopping, I found all these pumpkins on sale.
Big sale.
Like these fabric, really pretty, classy pumpkins. So not your orange pumpkins, but like beautiful, muted, neutral tones that can stay out and it will not clash with our early Christmas decorating. I know this is probably not very interesting to some people, but hopefully the people who are into it, it's interesting. Or at least entertaining. So Toast is, I often hear Toast exclaiming from downstairs where she's receiving the boxes, we got a box of blankets. That was a recent one.
Orange felt fabric.
Anyway.
Purchased on sale, I'm sure. When the sales happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The pumpkins were, yeah. Anyways.
Because otherwise pumpkins you wouldn't so have pretty. Bought decorative pumpkins.
No, because no one needs a decorative pumpkin unless it's $2.99.
Okay. Next up, making friends as an adult.
All right, making friends as an adult.
I've seen memes on this. Like friends of mine have posted memes like, yeah. I don't recall a specific one, but it's all like, ha ha, yeah.
What's so interesting to me is how, as kids, it's so much easier.
Well, it was when we were kids anyway.
But as an adult, like, we just have so many issues that are, that we're so aware of that get in the way.
Internal and external.
And then sometimes we're looking around and going, where are all my friends?
And honestly,
I need to make more friends.
Even maintaining existing friendships. Like, it's kind of funny.
Difficult.
It's kind of ridiculous feeling when you're like trying to schedule
a
time.
God.
And you're looking on your calendar
3 months
out, you know, just to try and get something that will
get
work
something in the books
and you can commit to and
and then what's the likelihood
going out this weekend?
What's the likelihood that that will happen? What's the likelihood that that will be then rescheduled?
Wow, now I feel like a loser.
Anyways, so the topic came up because, you know, even if you think like, I'm set for life, I have so many friends, I'm good. Or you are thinking, gosh, I feel kind of weird because I don't feel like I really have anyone in my life that's that friend. You know, they talk about a 4 a.m. friend, which is the person you could call at 4 a.m. When you're down, when you just need someone to talk to. Who would you call at 4 a.m.?
If you're just a little down and you need someone to talk to at 4 a.m.,
yeah.
Don't call your friend just for that.
Is that what you're saying?
They're not good. Yeah, that's kind of taking advantage, don't you think? It's like, oh, I just couldn't sleep, so I thought I'd call you at 4 a.m.
Well, maybe if you're down.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Like, down.
So whether you have a 4 a.m. friend or you don't have a 4 a.m. friend, there's always room for new friends. Mm. There really is. Even if you, even if like what to your point about like it's a challenge to maintain the friendships that you, the existing friendships.
Yeah.
We are always growing. And because we're always growing, there will always be, I mean, I think sometimes like our best connections are still ahead of us. You
like
know,
we haven't
still
met
to come. Yeah, because we're growing.
Yet.
We are changing all the time. And so with that comes, you know, great matches to like connect on. And everyone deserves great connection, deserves a place where you can be yourself, deserves fun, people you can go to for fun, people you can go to cry, people you can go to have like deep conversations. Everyone deserves whatever it is for them, you know, whatever they desire.
And I wonder too, like, you know how so much of our ideas or expectations maybe can be shaped by entertainment, you know, movies, TV shows. And I think that that affects our expectations or hopes and idealization of romantic relationships and friendships too. Because you see on, you know,
don't
movies,
watch the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, you'll see on movies that 4 a.m. friend.
Which
right?
I used to love.
People have their best friend. But that's the movies.
I mean, I think people have best friends.
Well, yeah, yeah. But
you're talking about the depiction of like what best friendship looks like. Like it's not all just mani-pedi shopping, going on a long lunch break at work.
Right. Like like these people don't have other responsibilities. Like they manage to, they manage to just knock on each other's doors at all the time. And
like, sometimes I'll be watching. I used to always, every Christmas, watch all the Hallmark Christmas movies. Yes, I am that person. Well, I was that person. Now I haven't been so drawn to it. But when I was into it, I'd be, Toast would hear me exclaiming from the living room, how does she have time to go get her nails done in the middle of the workday and go and meet the guy, have coffee? Like, how is she having time to do that? And then wrapping all the Christmas presents. When did she decorate the tree? I don't like how. There's no way.
Yeah.
And she has kids.
And that's why. And one of my constant phrases is, that's the movie. It's a movie. It's a movie. Yeah. It's fake.
And I'm my own peanut gallery. But anyways. Yes. So we're always growing. We always have a need to find a match for us to connect further with, to connect more deeply with. And sometimes as we grow, you know, our friendships will change because the people around us, your social circles, the people around us need to either be able to hold space for our growth. And honestly, sometimes they can't.
Right.
So you will remain maybe an older version of yourself when you're interacting with those people. Mm. But the new friends, new people will allow you that expansion. And sometimes if you're really lucky, your current friends will take you from, you know, from point A all the way to point B, and they will change with you and they will allow for the growth. But I don't think that happens as often as we would like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
'cause I definitely had a lot, I would say more friends when I was in the evangelical Christian church, you know? But I valued my personal growth more than staying in that
put.
Social circle and conforming to that kind of beliefs, quote-unquote beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so, decades ago, I was like, okay, I'm just going to, it sounds so crass, but I'm just going to let those friendships just atrophy and I got to move
let them
on.
Go.
Yeah.
And then that's another thing too. Like friends aren't here because I think there's a part of me that wants a friend to stay forever. It's like,
sure,
when I meet a new person or I think, okay, this, I could be good friends with this person. Mm-hmm. It's like, I put so much pressure that this has to be like, okay, I'm going all in and this is a forever relationship. But it's like, that's adding so much stress. That is adding so much stress. And so many friends are here just for a season. I think there's dish towels and like mugs with that phrase saying or something. But it's real. You know, it's like we're all here like to help each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your friendships will only last like a semester of a course you're taking in mm-hmm. college. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll only last like, you know, for the job that you are in. And that's okay. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
it almost adds to the appreciation
for
it.
You can treat
it. You move through.
Be precious with it.
Yeah, move through life and mm-hmm. really appreciating the people that are part of your network for a certain season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you were bringing up, like, it's so hard to nurture the existing friends.
Yeah.
You know, to maintain those friendships. And I think that's so true because I'm always like, oh my God, when are we going to have time? And I know I felt that more in California mm-hmm. when we had more in-person friendships there versus out here mm-hmm. in Portland. But I've also come to realize, like really feel this and really internalize that not every friend, like you don't need to treat all your friends the same.
Right. Right.
As far as like,
yes,
giving equal weight to every single friendship
right.
and making sure, okay, you know, you're nurturing every single one the same way.
Right.
Because some friendships are so low maintenance, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for those friendships.
Yes.
And then some of them do need more maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a reciprocity there that feels really good for both. So you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'm in it. I'm willing to do it. But it's really such a juggling act.
It's very, I love that. The richness mm-hmm. of that, the variety mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah.
And how, yeah, friendship, you know, our society and the industrial mindset that I think our society is moving out of is so like color by numbers and do the checklist and, you know, regimented and there's this feeling of systemization, but it's like, these are human relationships. This is a natural thing. And so, yeah, we treat each other in this utterly unique way and mm-hmm. we make allowances and people make allowances for us based on our own individual quirks and
yeah
and that's I think that's part of the beauty and the preciousness of the different kinds of relationships because yeah some friends you might only talk to once a year
yeah
but they're a 4 a.m. friend they
yep.
really are
and you can just pick up and it feels like nothing ever it's like
decades have passed and still it feels there's that level of acceptance and security is so beautiful. And then there's other friends, right, who you're in touch with way more often. Mm-hmm. And just the quality of your communication is, it's just different. And not,
yeah.
it's not that one is better than another.
Yeah.
But I love the spectrum of
yes.
the types of relationships we can have. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Totally. But it is, you know, like the, just kind of getting back to this common
difficulty of making
belief.
Friends.
I was going to say belief.
Oh, okay.
You know, is it a belief? What is it? A belief? Like I believe it's hard to make friends as an adult. Whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's mm-hmm. like it just feels more like I feel awkward. Like it's just so weird.
It feels less natural.
That's a great way to put it. It just feels weird.
And maybe I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe. It's more especially true when you don't get thrown into new situations where you encounter new people.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when you've been in a certain job,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you've been in a certain social circle for a long time, so you're not encountering new people to make friends with.
Yeah, So when you do make one, it's just awkward. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or you get the sense of how do you make new friends? Because I would have to actually have to make an effort here instead of just I happen to switch jobs.
Yes.
And so I naturally meet new people or.
And that's something too. Like I think as an adult,
you're more settled.
Your friendships tend to be ones out of convenience. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it's just that it's less work to nurture friendships. Mm. You know, if you're seeing them every day because of work, right there, okay, I can nurture this because it's right here.
Right.
Right. And that sounds horrible, but I mean, I think a lot of people, some of their great friends are met at work.
Totally.
I mean, people get married to people at work, right?
Totally. And all that stuff. Totally. I mean, where else do you meet people?
Yeah. So it is. So if you are in a situation where it's like, okay, I want to make more friends, you do have to put yourself out there. You really do have to put yourself out there.
Put yourself into new situations and purposefully like,
Yeah. Like doing, joining the club, you know, the Sierra or whatever, Sierra Club, whatever your interests are, the gardening club, you know, there's this meetup group. They might have changed their name, but it's a Portland meetup group and it's about lesbian introvert movie night. So it's so a bunch of lesbian introverts, they meet once a month at a movie theater to watch a movie. And there isn't a lot of pressure to like talk, right? Because you're an introvert.
It's cute, huh?
But you get to be around each other and all this stuff. And but anyways, see we've never gone. But I, anyways. So, yeah.
What else?
Well, weren't you going to talk a little bit about like the root?
Okay. Yes, I can say something about that.
I mean, I have one more thing to say, but why don't you go ahead and...
Okay. So I just wanted to acknowledge that the difficulty of finding and maintaining the sense of genuine human connection, I think, is made difficult because of the economy. And in particular, I mean, the way that we have our economy set up. I think that's one of the root reasons. Because the way our economy is set up creates artificial scarcity through usury, through interest-bearing debt. And this is not, we're not against capitalism.
Nope.
We're not against capitalism. And I'll give credit to Charles Eisenstein, who says, you know, it depends what capital is. If in our current system, the way capital works is usury. Please check out Charles Eisenstein for more information. But basically, he has, me being exposed to his work and his writing, I'm like, okay, you know what? This answers so many questions for me.
What book did he write?
He's written several books, but the one that's very related to this issue is called Sacred Economics.
Okay. But what was the book you read before that one?
Oh, no, it was this one. That's the only book I've read of his.
Oh, okay.
Sacred Economics.
Okay.
But so he's pointed out how our economy incentivizes moving away from human connection. It incentivizes us to not need anyone else, and it incentivizes us to protect ourselves from other people. For example, get insurance, because if you ever come across a time in your life where you have an accident or you need help or you become, you know, disabled for a period of time or you're worried about your old age, who's going to care for you, you better have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't depend on other people. And we can all... No, like we all know that's what the culture tells us is like, don't depend on other people. Pull yourself up, work hard, make it on your own, right? Mm. That's what quote unquote success looks like in our culture.
But get insurance.
Right. We're not saying to, that's the tricky and exciting thing. I think more and more people in our time, especially since COVID, we've had the sneaking suspicion that something's off. This is not the ideal
way to live. And so I think we're living between worlds.
Who knows how long it's going to take? It might take a generation.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we're moving in that direction back again, where we realize we like to depend on each other. It feels good to depend on each other and to show up for each other.
Yes.
You know, like back in the day.
Yeah.
What?
Ooh. I was going to talk about our neighbors.
Oh, can I say my thing?
Yes.
And then, okay. Because, yeah. So talking about neighbors, like, I feel so fortunate to have grown up, both Sienna and I grew up in a time where you knew your neighbors and you played with the neighbor's kids out on the street. And and I remember I stubbed my toe one time and my neighbor's mom is who took care of me in that instant.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it was back in the
our
day.
Neighbor,
you
could, our neighbor's, the neighbor's little girl, she got stung by all these wasps.
Okay.
And we carried her, you know, someone in my family carried her to our house, did the whole thing because back in that day it was like meat tenderizer. It was just weird, right? But we took care of her and then we went over and told the mom. And,
and that was normal.
Yeah. You weren't worried about like, well, I better not touch this kid because we're going to get sued and we're going to get, not going to get involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And, but now, many of us don't know our neighbors hardly at all. You would be too afraid to like ask if they have a cup of sugar
or even make eye contact.
That's so sad, right? But and now, so now instead of playing out on the street and stuff, it's like you pay for childcare, you pay for you know, after school daycare. So that's shows you how our economy incentivizes that. This turning of human relationship and turning of human connection and goodwill and reciprocity, it takes that and turns it, it incentivizes us to pay money for or
and
somebody
and
to
I
charge
have,
for.
And I have an, a great example.
Okay.
To your point.
Okay, go for it.
You just take a look at Halloween. Oh, it's so dangerous to have your kids going to walking around in the neighborhood. And I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but now, so now what is the norm? Oh, you go to the shopping mall and you trick or treat at each store.
It's turned
because
into
it's contained
thing.
And then you have a costume contest in the middle of the shopping mall, but now you're there and everyone's shopping and the stores are giving out candy.
So
that's more trusted.
That's a great example. Like it's taken.
Thank you. I thought you would like it.
It's taken these organic human connections and communal relationships and, turn it into part of the economy. Same thing with entertainment. Like back in the day, what did we do for entertainment? We would sing.
We played with sticks, toes.
or we would sing for each other.
Yeah.
We would all gather around and people would play instruments or, you know, have parties in their backyard or in the front yard. But now it's like you have to buy a ticket to, you know, an event to have entertainment. So anyway.
Which we love entertainment. I would love to go see Adele in Vegas. All right.
But basically, I just wanted to acknowledge, like, you know, it's
a systemic.
The difficulty of making friends is not just an individual, like,
right. You're not good at making friends.
Yeah. We have this omnipresent pressure.
Although I will say there are some people that have an easy time, you know?
Easier, yeah.
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 Chatting it up and, hey, you want to grab coffee? And then they go, you know, where I'm like,
they're in the Hallmark movie, aren't they? Aren't those the Hallmark people?
Are those the Hallmark people?
But anyway, yeah, so I'm conscious about trying to make an effort to develop and maintain some level of connection and conviviality with our neighbors. And I think that's what you were thinking
of. Yes, and our neighbor, and yeah, Tos is really good at that. And
I want to be better.
It was a snowy period in Portland. I think it was like a week of snow, right? Or something like that. And we were prepared, so we didn't have to go out or anything like that. But our neighbors, they had to go to the grocery store, but they called us and they texted us actually and asked if we needed anything from the grocery store because they were going to brave it out there, drive in the snow and do some errands.
And we were so touched.
We were like, what? So nice of them to ask us, our neighbors. And just want to share, this doesn't really matter, but then maybe it does matter on some level. These neighbors are a long-standing gay guy couple. So if that makes a difference for anyone, just put that out there.
And but it was so, but that's like, what a small gesture. And it meant so much to us because that feels rare in our current social climate.
Yes. And can you imagine, like, they had to trust and put themselves out there to even ask that because we don't know each other that well yet, right? I mean, we just moved in last year, right? Or a year and 2 months or a few months.
Yeah.
And we could have been like, oh my God, yes, I'm going to text you a screenshot of the list. You know, and then they would be like, what are they? Nutritional yeast. Like, you know, I mean, they would have been like, what is this?
What are these lesbians wanting yeast?
Yeah. Anyways, there were a few other things I just wanted to mention before we wrap it up. I know we're kind of going over. But something I learned that exists, I was like, what, really? There's something that exists called the liking gap? The liking gap? So the liking gap is our tendency to underestimate how well liked we really are. So you know that thing about putting ourselves out there, right? You got to put yourself out there if you want to make more friends, make new friends. But it's kind of scary, right? And I think a lot of that has to do with worrying that no one's going to like us.
Like, or we're back in high school.
Oh, yeah, like no one's going to pick you for the team, you know, or whatever. It's like, oh. So there's this thing, but there is this thing called the liking gap. And so,
what is that?
It's the tendency to underestimate how much we're actually like. So we tend to think like, oh, I don't think anyone's going to like me there.
Oh.
And you feel kind of like, oh, the oddball, or I'm just weird. I don't know. I don't fit in. I don't know. They're not going to, where it's like,
you're fine.
So well liked. Yeah. There's so many likable things about you, you know? So we have to remember that there are probably, that you are more liked than you probably think.
Okay.
You know, so that's super important. The other thing I would say is that really pay attention and actually take a scan of like the people in your life and just take notice of the people that show you so much love and ask yourself, are you giving to those people? Are you reciprocating with those people?
In other words, you might be overlooking how many friends you actually have already.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. Okay. Because I think, you know, I know I have done this where there are these amazing people like right here, right by me, right here. But I'm here trying to win the friendship of someone else. Mm. And I'm like, why am I even doing that when that person won't give me the time of day? Mm. And then now already how it starts, it's an uneven relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, you want the reciprocity. And I bet you, I mean, I know where that comes from for me. It's like this strange family thing of trying to get something you will never get from someone who just can't give it to you. It's just like this old thing. Yeah. But when you recognize how many people actually love you, that are around you and want to be there for you and want to connect with you more and want, it's like, love those people. Mm-hmm. They're right there with a platter of love for you. Really appreciating those people because, I mean, they're not, you just can't take it for granted. And so take a note of that and see who are those people, you know, in your life.
Nice. It's like being present for your relationships that you have.
Being present for the presence that are already there.
Yes. Beautiful.
I think that's it. I mean, there's still like so much more. But
let's wrap it up for now. How about that? And this would be a we can revisit this topic again.
We can revisit it, because something I would want to talk about in another episode is just about how our little, how our experiences from 0 to 7 affect how we make friends, the kinds of friends we choose, and the kinds of relationships we get into because of our experiences, conscious or not, between 0 to 7.
Okay. Write that down.
I better write that down, because I'm not going to remember that. I want to talk about that.
All right. So with that, we will end this episode about making friends as an adult. Hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation. Hope you could identify with some of it. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being a podcast friend of sorts.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I love that.
So have a good rest of your day or night or week.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day from your friendly neighborhood lesbians. We're recording this in preparation for Valentine's Day, but whatever day it is or night that you listen to,
have a wonderful day.
We wish you the best. If you find value in this, if you have an extra 2 seconds to scroll down to where the stars are for this podcast, please, we would appreciate your thumb just tapping on that 5th star rate and review podcast. Follow us around. We're on Instagram. And we're even on Twitter and YouTube and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, we are.
But mostly on Instagram. Sienna and Toast is our handle. So at Sienna and Toast. And you can even go to siennaandtoast.com, our website. As always, we'll end the episode by encouraging you to live your love story.
I'm Victoria Moran. Since we launched the Main Street Vegan podcast back in 2012, lots more people have discovered the way that moving in a vegan direction can infuse our lives with vitality, spirituality, and compassion. My guests are experts on every aspect of making this work in your real life and our real world. Join us for Main Street Vegan here on mindbodyspirit.fm.